recordings have now been started. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG monthly PC call on the 11th of November 2014. On the call today, we have Rafiq Damak, Avery Doria, Suhaidi Hassan, Ed Morris, James Sayer, Amir Al-Sada, Marilia Maciel, Robin Gross, Bill Drake, Joy Lidicote, Matthew Shears, Naren Kachatrian. From staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshes. We have no apologies today. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you so much. Over to you, Rafiq.
Thanks, Mariam. For some reason, I cannot see the agenda. In Adobe Connect, I don't know if the same problem for everybody. But, okay. So just to explain, we have new members joining us today. So first, welcome to them. And I hope that they will, I guess it's first experience for them to see what kind of topics we discuss. So just to explain quickly the context, usually we have, I think every month, the GNSO council call. And we are trying beforehand to, as NCAG, to discuss those the topics and the agenda of the GNSO Council with the NCAG membership, and to go through the motion that to be voted, so our counselor can get input feedback from members, and we discuss how we should.
I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Bill. There's a bunch of people saying they can't hear anything. I'm seeing Robin, Matt, and Amir all saying no sound.
If I'm listening to the call, thank you.
So just to let you know, because you're trying to do a setup, and half the people listed, no, Marilia is saying also she doesn't hear, so we have a problem.
Okay. Thank you. Mariam, can you check with the operator?
I'm trying to start that with the operator.
Good start.
All lines are open, so we're trying to find the source of the problem. Please give us a minute.
Hello? Hello.
I think people who are trying to use the Adobe for sound are having trouble. I'm on the telephone dial-in.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is anyone on the call able to speak or hear through the Adobe?
If I may interrupt, this is the operator here. There is no Adobe connected to your call.
Aha! That would be an important point for people to know. Okay, hold on.
Somebody has to dial into Adobe line and has to be grabbed on the bridge and placed into your call.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Rafiq, I don't mean to interrupt. Are you saying that the Adobe is not working on this call, or that people simply have not connected their audio?
If I may interrupt, this is the operator here. Usually the Adobe is connected by the person that joins me.
Okay, so the Adobe is working. Let me prompt people. Sorry.
I think it's better to use the dial-in. That's more, safe. But anyway, okay, so we have several people waiting for the operator here. Well, good start. So let's wait maybe 2 minutes for more people to join us.
If I may interrupt again, this is the operator. Somebody from your side will have to dial the Adobe into the bridge. That is not done by ourselves. It's done by yourself.
Okay, so you mean the Adobe is not set. That's it.
The Adobe is an icon feature.
Yes, yes. Yeah, understood.
From
so.
ICANN will have to tell me when it's going to dial that they'll be into this call. That line will have to be answered by Verizon and be placed into the call. So who is going
okay.
to dial the dial the
dial? I've done that before, and it was not going through. I'm going to try that again.
Okay. I will see if I can see the line on the bridge. I'll be leaving
Please.
This call shortly. Thank you.
And in the meanwhile, I have told people on Skype to use the phone bridge if they're able.
Okay, so we have to wait anyway. Looks a little bit messy here. Many people trying to access at the same time with only one single operator to handle that. So. Avery?
Hello, it's Matthew.
Hi, Matthew. Welcome.
Finally got through on the dial-in.
Yeah, it takes time.
Yeah.
Is
Adobe Connect not at all working?
It's not working.
It's Mariam here. I think we are finding it difficult catching the line. So we're trying again.
I have to say, usually by experience, I avoid using Adobe Connect. It's more safe to dial in or asking for dial out. Or so if you can use the Skype and the toll-free number for United States, those are more safe option. So,
okay.
Amar said that the sound on Adobe was already working, so it obviously crashed out at some point, and I'm trying to reconnect now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please just Mariam, check who already now access to the call from the bridge, not just from the Adobe Connect, to be sure that we got everybody, and then we can start the call.
Okay, so we have it now. So the operator has cut the line. Can everyone hear now on Adobe Connect? Hello?
Hello, Joy, I can hear.
Awesome. Can everyone
hear
on Adobe Connect? Okay, great. Thank you all for your patience.
is recorded, will be transcribed. Anyway, okay, thanks. Mariam, can you just please again start the roll call just to be sure that everybody here is listening and okay?
Okay. So on the call today, we have Rafiq Damak, Avery Doria, Suhaidi Hassan, Ed Morris, Jim Saya, Amir El-Sada, Marilia Masil, Robin Gross, Bill Drake, Joy Lidico, Matthew Shears, Naren Kachatrian, Ray Tmi Citerio, Tin Remy Peter Tyro. Thank you.
Thanks, Miriam. Okay, so back now to the agenda. So first, I wanted again to thank our new members who are joining us for this call. So maybe just to give quickly the context why we have such call on a monthly basis. Usually there is the GENASO council call in every month, and we are trying beforehand to have a discussion with NCSG membership regarding the GENASO council agenda, in particular the motion that need to be voted. So we are trying to get our counselor to attend this call to discuss with members, to explain what they have to vote, and trying to get the feedback and input here. So basically, the main agenda will be the GENASO council agenda. However, we'll also try to get updates about any ICANN policy, working groups, updates, trying to get briefings, or if we need to act somehow, and also any other business that we need to discuss about. So this is the context of why we are trying to have this call. It's really kind of to get what's happening. If you have any question, please feel free to ask in the chat, so or even ask, I mean, directly, so we will try to respond to you. Don't be shy, and just jump if you think that you want to ask something. Okay. Let's go to GENASO Council agenda. The call will be this Thursday, so Mariam, can you please upload the other agenda here? So to go through it. Okay. Okay. So, this is it. So, starting with the consent agenda, there is nothing here. The first item that we need to discuss is about the motion to adopt a charter for the cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN accountability. I think if you read in the mailing list, we... the charter and the motion was shared by Avery. So she shared the charter draft a few times on the list to get input from membership. This time the motion will be voted, and hopefully it will be voted for this GENASO council. But I think we have Avery and Matthew, who are participating in the drafting team, maybe they can give a briefings or some insight about the charter, or any point they think that we need to care about, or or any point they want to highlight here. Avery, are you here? Can you listen to me?
Yeah, this is Avery speaking. I only wanted to make... Oh, somebody's got echo. I only want to make one point on it, and that's that we are seeing the questioning of the number of people. Now, this is the same issue we had with the Internet cross-community working group, except it's not the same issue, because in that one, there had been the legacy of an ad hoc group with loads of people in it and trying to pare down, and the negotiations in the existing ad hoc group had agreed to a higher number. In this case, we use the minimum of 2, maximum of 5 formula, which is pretty much becoming a standard formula that works for, you know, regionally oriented SOACs to have one from each region if that's the way they want to do it, and it allows for a stakeholder group organization like the GNSO to have one from each stakeholder plus the chair if they want to go that way, or they can give the one extra to whoever they wish. So again, we're having the question from the folks who believe the GNSO is a constituency-based organization as opposed to being formed of stakeholder groups who are saying basically, where are our seats? So we'll see how that develops. I was only the seconder, but even as the seconder, I won't agree this time to a larger number because I don't think we can without sending the charter back. Last time there was a solution we could arrive at that people sort of accepted that gave the commercial stakeholder group the three constituency members that they wanted. This time the agreed to charter does not allow that, and I don't see any way that we should send the charter back to allow that. So that was the only point I would, the two tracks there are, I think, fairly decent. We tried to leave it up, though, to the working group to determine what needs to be in track one, which is absolutely necessary before a stewardship transition, and those things that need to be done afterwards. Actually, I'm saying more than I plan to. The one caveat in all of that is that there's a third class of thing. It's a thing required for one, for track one, which is necessary for stewardships, but perhaps, and we don't know what these things are yet, but perhaps a thing that can't be done in time for that. And we've left open the possibility that if complete assurances can be gotten, and I have no idea what those would be, given the board's ability to change any assurance it gives, but assuming if there were assurances that it would still happen even once the transition was done, the transition could be allowed to go forward. But that's a lot of ifs. But that measure is in there just in case. So, that for example handles the case that people in track one say we need to completely reorganize ICANN, and it takes more than 3 months to do it. So, that's about it. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. I see we solved with the presentation. In the queue. Yes, please, go ahead.
Rafik, I don't understand you. Are you calling on me?
Yes, because you are raising your hand, so I thought...
Yes, okay. Sorry, sound was not clear. I just wanted to point out also, in relation to this, this is something that we have gone through multiple times with other groupings, and in the chairs meeting, SOACSGC chairs meeting that was held in Los Angeles on the Friday before the ICANN meeting, the view was expressed by the chairs of the CSG reps to FADI and everybody else that going forward in any kind of process like this, CSG has to have three seats. So they're stating this as a general proposition that they want applied in all cases because they say that they are unable to agree amongst themselves on things, and so the only way they can have representation is by each of their constituencies having their own representatives, which is interesting insofar as one would have thought that on most issues they have some broad commonality of view on these things that is at least comparable to what we would have among constituencies in NCSG. So this is just something that we're going to hear over and over, and I think that we simply have to reaffirm that the stakeholder group is the appropriate level, and I would think that we would get support from others on that as well. So I stop.
Thanks, Bill. We have Matthew on the queue. Yes, Matthew?
Yes, thanks. Just to follow on from what Avery was saying, there is a rather lengthy critique of the charter, or the draft charter, I guess I should say, by Phil Corwin on Circle ID. And just to cover a couple of points in there, he does say that the charter is too bounded by the timeline of September 2015. He's not comfortable with the two work streams, with the fact that we left out the what aspects of accountability should be in. So it's worth a read. I think that, you know, he may have some points, but I think overall, given the amount of time and the need to get the process underway, given the parallel tracks that we're dealing with, I think the charters are not bad. I think perhaps the most important thing in the charter is that it does allow for and the broadest possible discussion of accountability. There were those who wanted to limit it in the charter initially, but I think we have a pretty decent charter to work with going forward. Thanks.
Thanks, Matthew. So I have maybe kind of maybe a practical question to our counselor. Do you think we can defeat any, I mean, kind of, well, it's not really a friendly amendment, but any attempt by CAG counselor to change the representation number? Can we, I mean, get support from the registrar and the registry to defeat any this kind of proposal? I mean, and then we can really move forward, or just we have to go this many times. I guess Avery wants to respond to this. Yes, Avery?
Yeah. Okay, first of all, I don't think it could come through as a friendly amendment, so it would have to be a voted amendment. I know that there are many, or at least some among the registrars, who were rather put off last time, and two people did vote against the charter simply because of that. So, and I believe that there's a little bit of grumbling in the registries as well, though not as well defined in registrars, and since they're getting so much bigger, they may have mixed feelings about ways to get more votes. I'm not sure. But the registrars definitely were unhappy last time. So I think there's a chance we could vote it down, but, you know, we would have to remain kind of solid, you know, on our side. Reed would probably go with them, so that means that they would have a majority in our house, and whether they could get a majority in the other house is vote counting. I haven't done yet. I think there's a chance they could, but there's a chance we could stop them. But then, you know, the thing to consider is then this charter has to go back to everybody else. Thanks.
Okay, so it looks we have kind of strategy here. yes, Amar, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Amar. I just wanted to ask a question. Procedurally, on a charter like this, is it required that the council approve it by some level of consensus? Or is it okay if some within the council don't agree with the charter, but the GNSO adopts it anyway? Thanks.
I think this one's a majority vote, isn't it?
Yeah,
this
I don't
one
see
is a
any.
Majority of both houses, or two-thirds of one house and something. It's down at the bottom there, but I believe this is a majority vote issue, voting threshold, because it's not a high threshold, so it's the norm.
Yeah, I think so. By experience with other cross-committee working group, I don't think it's. I mean, it's only majority here. So yeah, we can defeat them, but.
I'm sorry, this is Amar again. I realize it's a majority vote, but I'm just wondering, from others' experience, do you think that this is the sort of thing that the council would decide to send back to the drafting team and say we have a problem with this, or they just vote and use the majority vote rule? I'm just curious what folks might be expecting to happen 2 days from now. Thanks.
I guess there is two issues here. Yes, Avery, okay, please go ahead.
If it wins by majority vote, it'll go forward. You know, the last one we had for internet had two votes against it, but it won by a majority, so it went forward. Even if this one had more, as long as it won, it would go forward. If it loses, then yeah, we've got an issue.
Okay.
And if it wins amended, we've got an issue.
Okay. So, question here: if I guess the first we don't expect that they will change, I mean, the attempt to change anything in the charter, because if they try to do so, we have to work again with the other SO and ACs. But I think it's just about representation here. If I understand correctly, the drafting team is suggesting up to 5. Does it include the co-chair too, or is the 5 plus co-chair?
No, it doesn't include the co-chair. The 5 exclude the co-chair.
Okay. Okay. Yes, Avery.
Well, it's up to the SO. I mean, the GNSO has taken a practice, but certainly no policy, of one from each SG and the chair. But it's really totally up to the GNSO to decide how it's going to split up its 5. So it could give the other one to anyone it wanted, including, you know, one of the CSGs, if that was its desire. It really, how the GNSO splits up its 5 is its business.
Yes, so I was just, asking if it's up to 5 plus co-chair, or if it includes the co-chair, so it's 5 plus co-chair. Okay. I think we are going to vote yes for this motion, but we have just to avoid this whole issue about representation and... So we have to work with the other groups for that matter. And I see several comments in the Adobe Connect chat. So, okay. I don't see anybody in the queue, but just wondering is how you see here, how we should proceed. I mean, to give some maybe, kind of input or guidance to the counselor here. Okay. So I'm waiting if someone wants to add something here or to add any comment.
I'm sorry, Rafika, are we still on the same motion?
Yes, because I'm seeing people are discussing, have a quite intense discussion in the Adobe Connect chat. And just trying to figure, to figure out if we have kind of clear action plan. Otherwise, we will move to the next motion. So I'm trying to, yes, Amar, yeah.
Hi, this is Amar. Sorry, I haven't raised my hand the last couple of times. I just wanted to say that I agree completely with Avery on everything. I think she summed it up pretty well in terms of the rules. And I agree with her on what I believe the NCSG position should be on this. I think we should just go ahead and vote in favor of this charter. There may be another issue we may be pressed with, and that is something also maybe we should talk about quickly, because the rules for membership in the charter allow for up to 5 members from any AC or SO. And so if the GNSO council determines that we will use all 5 members, do we have any position on who the fifth member would be. I was just wondering if anyone has an opinion on that. Thanks.
What do you mean? I mean, I guess it's we are trying here to get one, at least one representative from a stakeholder group. So, or
yeah, well, if we have one representative from each stakeholder group, then the GSO would have four members on the CWG. But the charter allows for up to five members. So if we do approve, if the council approves a fifth member, will this be a second member from a stakeholder group that is already represented, as opposed to perhaps a member who's a non-con appointee to the GSO council?
It can be for Lord try to include others, but I guess you have, I mean, it's saying up to five. You don't need to use all of them. So it may be in the table, so maybe it's to try to include others. That's why I'm also asking if it should be the co-chair, too. I mean, so that can be a solution. So there are several alternatives here, but I'm not sure it's how you can get agreement in such situation if you put those different alternatives. I think it's just up to four, and everybody will be happy. Well, equally unsatisfied. Okay, so it shows that still people discussing in the chat. Okay, we are most people thinking that we should, I guess, probably only four representatives. It's the best solution here. Also, but who should liaise with other groups? If someone wants to volunteer, or if it end up that it should be, I don't know, the chair, or who else who you want to do this, I mean, to volunteer. Well, silence here. Somebody want to comment?
Rafiq, it's Joy.
Yes, Joy. Yeah.
Yes. Just in terms of volunteering, is this volunteering for the working group itself? I just want to be clear, is this the same group that Robin and I have volunteered for, or a different one?
Yeah, it's the same. So here's the discussion, Joy, is first, I mean, have the motion
of course.
And so the big issue is kind of about representation to avoid this kind of CAG getting, to expand the number, and then they get more seats here just to keep it at five. But then we have the question how to deal with that kind of fifth person who should be. And yes, if we go with four or five, we will get an NCAG representative here, and that will be then an NCAG process to appoint someone. And yes, you and Robin volunteered for this. I'm not sure if I missed it someone else here, but yeah. So, I do agree with Avi. It should be the fifth should be the co-chair. I mean, this idea that five plus co-chair, I don't really support it. Just the fifth should be the co-chair, and that's it. I asked the question, who should liaise with other groups from the contracted party to be united in the vote?
Rafiq, this is Amar. I'm sorry, could you repeat the question, please?
What the question? The last question, yes, I forget it. No, I was asking, I mean, one sec. Yes, I mean, about who to liaise with, the contracted party about to be united for the vote against any motion, any amendment regarding the representation. So. Okay. So, since nobody is really in the queue, I'm tempted to move to the next motion, but I still see people discussing in the chat, so... well, we are 40 minutes in the call. I think it's maybe it's better to move to the next motion anyway. And this topic regarding the cross-community working group and accountability is still open. So, okay, the next item is the motion regarding some GNS operating procedure and working group guidelines to address issues relating to waiver of motion deadlines, GNSO council voting outside a council meeting, and working group consensus levels. I think this motion coming from the CSI, which stands for Standing Committee on Improvement Implementation, which is about, I'll say, this is a committee really working on all operating rules and procedure for the GNSO. And so it's every time trying to improve the process there. So this time we got different proposal to in regard of the motion, and so it will be helpful to get input from those who are in the CSI and to explain about this motion and how we should vote for it. So yes, have we?
Okay, yeah, I'm volunteering to be the one to talk about it since I made the original motion, though Amr did put in an amendment. So perhaps Amr will want to speak afterwards on his amendment after I trash it. So the SCI has basically worked on three things. One is the waiver of motion deadlines, and what that one has. You know, we've got now this fairly long 10-day deadline for any motion that's going to be voted on, and it's incredibly strict. You miss the 10 days, and you're out of luck for a month. So basically, and that was one of the problems, I think, that was sent by the council to the SCI. I'd have to check to make sure that I've got that right, but I believe it is, because most of these issues are. So anyhow, basically what the SCI deliberated and created by consensus was a method by which, you know, that if there was no objection and there was, you know, strong cause, that indeed one could put forward something later. And without going into all the details, but it was made a fairly hard barrier, but it's possible. So that was basically one set of rules for doing that. Another set of rules was we were asked to, at first I think we were asked to look into email voting, but then we stretched it to e-voting, and I think did check with the council to make sure that was fine, and that was fine. So this is a proposal for, in certain circumstances, when it's necessary, and again, with mechanisms to show that there's no objection, a vote can be taken between two meetings. Now, some of the requirements are that there is a date pressure for doing it, that the issue has been discussed adequately, most likely in a previous list, I mean in a previous phone call or possibly on list. But there, you know, there's certain conditions that need to be met, and no one basically can object to doing it. So that's an ability to take a mid-meeting vote. And sometimes things have just been delayed because of these two requirements, one for the long lead on motions and one for you know, not being able to vote outside a meeting, you know, and so we've ended up doing things like, well, the chair's going to send a letter, and we all, and if nobody objects, well, now we could actually say, hey, we need a letter out, things like that. And the other thing, which is the clarification on working group consensus levels, no changes, but one of the things that came out of one of the past working groups was a consensus against. And people felt that the wording in the rules wasn't explicit enough to make everybody comfortable that a consensus against was the same as a consensus for the negation of the statement. You know, to someone like me, just creating the thing we were having consensus on to a negation statement was sufficient, but others wanted a clarification that consensus includes, by definition, consensus against. So that's now on the waiver of motion deadlines. Can talk about his amendment. But basically there was the issue of what happens if this is a reconsidered vote, and as this is a vote that, because we have a rule in there that says, you know, if you lose a vote, you know, under certain circumstances, you can come up, you know, you can put it back on the table for reconsideration. And whether this policy applies or doesn't to that was an issue that was discussed a little in the group, but was never resolved. At least many people in the group feel it wasn't resolved. And in fact, some of us, looking at the rules for how you do these two things, are not quite sure how you would pull off following the rules for both. But there may be a case where that would work. I haven't done the full analysis. Perhaps Amr has. But Amr, I believe, felt that the way we came out of the discussion was slightly different than the way others felt, so offered a an amendment, as I believe that sort of states explicitly that this does not cover that, whereas we did not think, others did not think, that we were that explicit in doing it. So that's my amendment. I accepted the amendment because it really didn't make a difference, I didn't believe, but now it's become kind of an optics issue, or so I've been told by Ron and others in the CSG, that, you know, we are, you know, somehow conspiring to do something, and I don't quite understand that, but optics issues, you know, are often difficult to understand with logic. So, I don't know if there's going to be a discussion on it. At one point, I was tempted to just pull the motion for a month, sort of saying there's a gap, we should go back and reconsider it. Mary convinced me that I was wrong to do so, but else to suggest that we stall the motion because of it. If we do change the rules at all for the waiver of motion, then we would have to go out for public comment again. One other possibility that was explored was splitting the motion and taking through the mid-meeting voting and the working group's consensus rewording without taking this one through. But in any case, if we do anything other than vote it through, it's messy. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery. That's quite an update. I see Amr want to intervene. Yes, Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Amr. Usually motions regarding SCI recommendations are fairly straightforward, and people don't really look at them too closely because they've already gone through a very rigorous consensus process where the SCI has to have full consensus on any recommended changes to the GNSO operating procedures, so and it goes through public comment before it even gets to council. So it's usually all set and very clear. This isn't the case here, obviously, and it's I guess it's my fault. but yeah, I think I was the first person to bring up the issue of whether this new project the SCI was working on at the time, which was the 10-day rule waiver, which means basically that, as Avri explained, there's a rule for submitting motions and documents by GNSL councillors for the agenda of the next council meeting, and that is that there's a 10-day deadline before the council meeting where people have to make these submissions. And as Avri explained, sometimes there is a need to go ahead and have a waiver for that rule, and that's what the SCI worked on. Last March, the council voted and approved another recommendation that Avri also mentioned, made by the SCI, which was resubmission of a motion, submitting a motion that had previously been voted on under certain circumstances that qualify to fall into that category. And the question that came up on the SCI was whether this new 10-day waiver rule would apply to the resubmission of a motion rule or not, because they're in two completely different sections of the operating procedures, which do not refer to each other. And at the time when that happened, actually, when the discussion started, council hadn't already voted on the resubmission of a motion. So this discussion maybe started around February, which was about a month before the council approved that change to the operating procedures. And at the time, I had recommended that we either add additional language later in the operating procedure under section, I believe, 4.3.4, that also allowed for waivers to be applied to resubmitted motions. And at the time, that seemed to be problematic because changing two sections in the operating procedures may require more than one public comment. And so, there was a discussion over the following months. There was even language that was provided so that this 10-day waiver rule would apply to resubmitted motions, only that would have been added at the earlier part of the operating procedures, the one that we were already working on. But the last discussion we had on this issue that I believe settled it was in July, and this was during an SCI call. This is during one of the committee meetings. And at the time, the SCI member who was responsible for this project in that subgroup decided that, you know what, this is probably not a good time to deal with this issue, and it really shouldn't be necessary to have a 10-day waiver rule on a motion that is being resubmitted, because well, his assumption was that if this is a motion that has already been submitted and voted on, it's being resubmitted again, then it's very likely that it's still fresh in people's minds. It's an ongoing issue, so there really should be no reason to even need a waiver to the 10-day rule. I was fine with that. I was actually fine either way, but all I asked for was clarification to the GNSO Council when the motion was being brought before it, to make sure that there is no confusion. These are procedural issues, and it's really about reading into the language in the operating procedures. And the job of the SCI is to recommend language that would be sort of undisputable, language that is very clear, and that's the job of the SCI is to make sure that the rules are appropriate for the efficiency of council work, as well as they're just clear, so that there will be no problems when the rules come up. And in my last email to the SCI on this issue, which was in September, when the recommendations were going out for public comment, I again asked that this issue be made clear to the council, and didn't get any response at the time. But I'm fairly certain, and I'm speaking to Ron Androff myself, who is the business constituency representative to the SCI. He's also the chair of the committee. I did provide him with links to the email archives and transcripts relative to this topic, and he seemed convinced, and he also advised the business constituency representatives on the GNSO Council to approve the amended motion and vote in favor of it. But I have also been hearing from Mary Wong from ICANN staff, and she is the support staff to this committee, that there does seem to be some question, though I don't know where it's coming from, and I don't know who has doubts about this. But for me, it's very clear. I think it was made extremely clear, both over email and during FCI committee meetings, and there are archives and transcripts to support that. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. I think Avery wants to respond to you here. Yes, Avery?
Yeah, this is Avery. I'll respond. To me, it's not clear. I think the discussion left it undetermined, but maybe you're right. Maybe there is an email where, you know, it was the last email in the group and we said, oh, okay, let it drop. The point is that we wrote is not explicit. And so to make it explicit in the motion, but not in the operating procedure, is a recipe for trouble sooner or later. Now, I accepted the amendment as friendly because it just doesn't do to not accept an amendment offered by one of your teammates as friendly. That has its own bad optics. So, I accepted the amendment, but as far as I'm personally concerned, I've just been pressed by Mary and Ron, and I'll bring it up in the meeting if there's any real discussion. For example, the discussion you just made now, I would respond to it with, sorry, then we should send it back to the SCI because the operating procedure is not explicit and is not clear. And if you think that this is understood there, then it has to say it there. It can't just be something that's tacked on the motion. So, you know, it's sort of messy at the moment. But we'll see what happens in this meeting. Thanks.
Okay. So, okay, Amma, you want to respond here too?
Yeah. Just very quickly to say, I do agree with Avery that it is messy, and that it isn't explicitly clear, as the SCI should make it in the language of the operating procedures, which is why I asked at the time, this was back in September and earlier on, that there should be an additional message, perhaps in the motion or in some other form, to the council, making it clear. But that was the whole basis of my earlier argument that there should be clarification in the language to that effect, the language being recommended to amend the operating procedures. The SCI didn't, I mean, the committee members didn't seem to want that for the time. So for me, a message to the council in the motion was the lesser of two evils. But like Avery said, and I agree with her completely, it should be clear in the language, and it shouldn't be made clear using a motion or any other means of communication. I should also probably go on the record and apologize to Avery for suggesting the friendly amendment without consulting with her first. I did apologize privately, but I should probably do that here as well. And I do apologize about that, Avery. I didn't think it would be so much of an issue at the time because I thought everybody was on the same page with this, but I was obviously proven to be mistaken. When Ron first raised this concern as an optics issue, I didn't feel that the SCI should really think of it as a problem from an optics perspective, because the SCI works on a method of full consensus, and the SCI did discuss this issue, in my view, at length, and it did resolve it, and it did agree on a full consensus level that this is the language that we want to provide and should not be applicable to motions being resubmitted. So in one sense, the SCI did do its job, and it submitted its recommendations, and it scoped them rather specifically, if not very clearly. But I would also be happy to discuss this issue at length during the council meeting if the need arises. And I would not be I mean, I would not be disagreeable with the idea of sending some of this work back to the SCI or perhaps as a new project to work on the section relevant to motions being resubmitted. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Amar. Okay. see, at least we got this discussion, trying to clarify the situation. Just maybe asking Avery here how she would just proceed. So we will keep the motion at least for discussion for this time, and I mean you will defer it. I mean for the vote, and to get it back to the SCI.
This is Avery. Since I've been called on, I didn't raise my hand. My suggestion is, yes, now I'm going with the advice from Mary, is let it ride, let's discuss it, let's see what the council says. Now, instead of just letting it sit for another meeting for, you know, we need further time to consider, I would suggest that, and if that comes up, what I'll probably suggest is that we split the motion. And see if we can't take the other two forward while sending that one back. Now, you know, I don't know at what point I'll offer that as an amendment, or someone else can offer that as an amendment. Certainly, amendment that I could accept as friendly to sort of say, hey, there's a mess here, folks. You know, why don't we split the motion and send that issue back to the SCI for clarification and take the other two forward. I think that's the optimal outcome, as opposed to just putting the whole thing on the table for another month and then pretty much doing nothing and then coming back to it next month and going, oh dear, we forgot to do anything. What do we do now? And, you know, doing that same thing that I just suggested doing now. Thanks.
Thanks, Avi. Okay, yes, yeah. Splitting it, at least we can mitigate any damage here and move forward. Thanks for this. I guess, I mean, it's always interesting to see how discussion about procedure, it's end up also to discuss about the procedure regarding the procedure itself. Anyway. Okay, so I guess we can move to the next item. Now we don't have any more any motion to discuss, but just as more items regarding update, and this is about name collusion. I guess here it's maybe David can give some update here, since I do think he's following these issues somehow, because it's technical side. David, are you with us?
Yes. And I can tell you a little bit about this issue.
Yes.
Okay, so actually this is, I mean, though this is a discussion item and an update, it is actually leading into probably a possible motion for the next item, which is basically what we're discussing here, is whether or not we want to start a policy process to do with name collusion. So there isn't a motion on the table, but that's what the discussion will be about. And if so, what, so to speak? So this will be a bit of the council just sort of throwing out their opinions about whether or not we should have a process to do with name collusion. I think the staff kind of thinks we should, but a lot of the things that they presented as being part of that issue, a lot of things they presented as part of the issue at the meeting in Los Angeles, some councillors, including me, sort of went, what? We that's not name collision, that's some totally other bit of discussion. So that's pretty much what the parameters will be. I don't know if anyone in CSG has strong opinions about whether or not the council should go ahead with looking at name collision. or otherwise. Okay.
Thanks, David. To be honest, I always see the problem of name correction is kind of really technical issues and really related to kind of, operating practices done by an IT manager and so on. But so why the GNSO want to get involved here and what their expectation, what kind of deliverable they are expecting?
I can kind of answer that.
Yes.
It's a very significant issue for applicants who may have their name knocked back or held back or restricted based on possible name collision. It's potentially a security issue, so it's one of those things where if it is a real security issue, we should perhaps deal with it somehow. Recently there have issues come up with to do with, because basically a name that's up for name collision gets kind of temporarily gets a temporary stop put on it, so it can't be delegated. And there have been some issues about what happens when those things come out, like how the registers and registrars deal with them. Do they send them back into some sort of pseudo summarize or something like that? It seems to be all over the issues about this. This is what I mean about the scope. There's sort of a scoping issue about what exactly it is that we're supposed to be talking about here. And they think this. Some staff certainly seem to included some things that we didn't think were part of the issue. But I tend to think of it as mostly a technical issue, and there may be some discussion about how we sort of formalise that process. But I don't think it's particularly contentious. So there we go. Anyway, advise all the councillors to take a look to read the paper, and there's no actual vote for that we'd like. Given that this might turn into a policy process, it's worth paying attention to it. It's not just an update sort of thing.
Thanks, David, for this. Can you please send this paper to the mailing list and just give a kind of quick explanation and some context for people to understand why it's really important?
Well, I don't know that it's really important, but the paper's right there in the link to it in the agenda.
Just share with other members and the mailing list, to share with them. But, yeah, we can do that later anyway. Okay. Thanks, David. I guess if there is no question here, we can move to the next item, which is an update about GNSO GAG consultation group. There's quite work going on for a while, trying to improve, the relation between the GNSO and GAG, and to try to involve GAG more in the policy-making process. Just to be sure, I think it's we have Avery, David, Hammer in that this consultation group, if there is any update here or something that they want to share. And I see Amar want to volunteer first. Yes, Amar, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Amar. I was going to volunteer to say that there isn't really much of an update going on. We have meetings once every 2 weeks, and this last call, both the co-chairs of the group were not present, but Mason Cole, who is the newly appointed, or fairly newly now appointed, council liaison to the GAC, was present, and he chaired the call. And what we've basically been doing is sort of just a stock-taking and then taking a look at what has been done and what hasn't been done yet on two tracks that this group is working on, one for addressing sort of overriding process issues and trying to sync the GNSO process with the GAC process and the other on day-to-day activities on how to address specific instances in which GAC advice can be just GAC inputs could be provided at earlier stages as opposed to when GTLD policy issues are before the ICANN board. We've been taking a look at what we've been doing and trying to figure out what we will be doing next period. But the two co-chairs of this group, Jonathan from the GNSO side and Manal from the GAC side, were not present on the last call. And I guess we might see more action moving forward. I do note that there was one council, one GNSO group, or wasn't a GSO, I think it's a cross-community group on the cross-community group on country and territory names that Mason Cole is involved in, and they wanted to interact more closely with the GAC and get some GAC input on that. So Mason Cole has volunteered to do this since he is both an active member of that working group and the GNSO liaison to the GAC. And so just as a test run, just sort of see if we can try to figure out ways where GAC input could come in early to that working group that is actively seeking their input. David's got his hand up. He might have more to add. Thanks.
Yes. Yes, David.
So what everything Amma said is right, and there isn't actually a whole lot to report about this working group just because the last meeting was somewhat sparsely attended. I think we had a few people South Korea for the plenipot and so on. But the important thing here is actually the second paragraph, which is why I actually bumped this item up, was originally 10 minutes, and I bumped it up to 15, which is during the council working session, the planning session on the Friday following the Los Angeles meeting, one of the ideas that was suggested, and this is new to the reason this isn't got a vote or anything at all, it is just a general discussion item, is because it is new to councillors like Amma who weren't at that working session, is that Bruce Tonkin of the board was there, and he suggested that the board would find it a really good idea, really valuable to them and to the process, if the GNSO council and other bodies would actually issue their own response to GAC advice, the GAC communique, and then that way when the board respond to the GAC communique, they can do so knowing that they are following community input and being able to tell the GAC that they're following community input, which, in the past they may have been doing unofficially, but they had no sort of way to officially point to it. So we're going to start the idea of there being the council essentially issuing not a full response, but some thoughts on GAC advice, which they then to put in a letter and send to the board. The board is not compelled to listen to it in any way. It's just a letter from the council, but it's informative so that when the board do respond to the GAC advice, they can from the board. Now, I think this is quite a major change in the way the sort of board GNSO GAC dynamic works. I think it's a pod change. But because it's a new and sort of speculative idea, we're just going to talk about that in the meeting and introduce it. But it's a pretty important thing to talk about. And we should probably all be thinking about that idea of having, what do we think about GAC advice? What do we think the council should say about GAC advice? And, of course, we don't need to respond just to the council as a stakeholder group or whatever. We can also take that idea of sending our response to GAC advice to the board and see how they take that input. So that's probably what we'll be talking about. And I think that is worth thinking about. So
Thanks, David, here. Okay. I see no hand raised here. any question or further comment? Okay. Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
You might get an echo. I'm having trouble getting the Adobe to do the sound. So tell me if it's too bad. Anyway, I put my question in the chat. I think this business on the GNSO / GAC advice is important, and Bruce certainly seems interested to get the advice. The question is, how do we do it? And probably if I read the procedures manual, I could figure this out, but I'm being lazy. Does anyone have any idea how we would prepare the advice and vent it and get it approved and all that? I guess what I'm really asking is, how formal does this have to be?
Hey, Stephanie, I think David wants to respond to you about this. Mm-hmm. Yes, David?
And the answer is, this is a new thing, we don't know. It probably doesn't need to be super formal. I suspect it's certainly going to ask, solicit sort of responses from working groups where it concerns them. We this is a new thing. We're working it out. I don't think it's going to be necessarily super formal, though. And there's also the question of, should the council be trying to incorporate sort of policy responses to GAC advice, or just kind of procedural ones, and let the policy come directly from the stakeholder groups, which is likely to be more easy, a more practical, you're not likely to stop us arguing about policy in the council.
Yes, Armin?
Hi, I just wanted to add, this is Armin. I just wanted to add that one of the challenges we're facing with dealing with the GAC is that they never do intersessional work. All their work is done during their face-to-face time at the public ICANN meetings. And so whether it's communication from us to the GAC or any sort of communication to the GAC where we're trying to get input from them or asking them to engage with us in any discussion or engage with a PDP working group of any sort in any discussion, we have to wait until the GAC meets and discusses what we are asking, and then they would reach some sort of decision. So I just thought that was worth mentioning, but it's also one of the problems we have in trying to sync up their process with ours in different ways and for different purposes. But it's just something to keep in mind, I guess. Thanks.
If I can just briefly comment on that. The idea is that this would be a letter from the council to the board, sort of guiding the board response, but we would hope that while the GAC would not be able to officially respond to it because it would be an intersessional communication, and they wouldn't really be able to respond to it until, they were ready to issue the next communique, that maybe some GAC members would unofficially respond in some ways, or we could act via the liaison and other mechanisms were set up with the GAC GNSO group. So we're still filling it out, but at the moment it's a letter from the idea is a letter from the council to the board that attempts to guide the board or advise on the board response to GAC advice, which sounds confident as I can for you.
Okay. Thanks, David. Well, yes, Tiffany, I think you have another question.
just a quick question. Back to procedures. So, David, do you think that the GNSO could respond and whip up that letter in, what, 2 or 3 weeks? Is that the kind of time frame we're talking?
No, I think we're anticipating that it will be at least another council meeting or before we do it, I would think. I mean, essentially, as long as it's done before the board officially considers the GAC advice from Los Angeles, I guess.
Okay. Just trying to figure out if there is any further comment here. Okay. So, we can move to the next item. It's also an update, but this is about the cross-community working group to develop a transition proposal for IANA stewardship on naming-related function. So we have Avri as NCAG representative there, and we also have other active member from NCAG participating in the discussion. It's quite active working group. I'm observer there. There are a lot of discussion, and they are having several call, and even they are organizing themselves in subgroups. So, but maybe if someone wants to kind of give an update here or explain what's GNSO Council we talk about here. Since I see that Jonathan will give an update, but as far as I recall, he's not quite active the last days in the working group as a co-chair. Okay. Someone want to say something here? Or? Okay. Yes, Omar.
Hi, this is Omar. I don't know what Jonathan is planning on speaking about during the council meeting, but I'm... But yeah, but as an update to this group, there is a lot of work being done by this CWG, and that is because it's got a very tight deadline of having to submit the. I think the initial proposal has to be ready in December, and I think the whole process has to be done before the end of January at some time. So there's a lot of discussion going on mechanisms of oversight of the IANA function and how that would be carried out and by who. And there's also a lot of discussion going on whether IANA should stay as a part of ICANN or become an independent sort of entity and just different models of how to do that. And some of those have been tabulated and they are being discussed still. There's a lot of emails going back and forth. There's also been subgroups set up to address different issues that this group is tackling with. Some of them have already done their work, and those are mostly the ones that are supposed to sort of describe what is involved with the IANA function in its current state. That gives us a pretty decent way to move forward, thinking about what we want to change. But I don't think the group is any closer yet on a single proposal of how the stewardship of IANA needs to be transitioned. This hasn't happened yet, and we do have a few more calls this week before the face-to-face meeting of the group next week, which is going to be in Frankfurt. Just as a broad overview of what's going on, I think that about sums it up. We do have a few other members from NCSG who are on this list. Avri is the the NCO is represented through this group. And we also have Matt. Matt, I think, is going to be in Frankfurt as well. So thanks.
Thanks, Amal. Yes, I think yes. Matt also was going to be there. Yes, Stefan, you have a question here?
Yes. I'm skulking on the list. I'm an observer, and I have to say that the traffic is enough to drive you a little bit crazy. So I really applaud the work of our. Of our folks that are on these committees and doing all the heavy lifting. Number one, I'd like to just give a little shout out to Avery's students' project in Meissen in the summer at the Internet Governance School, because the amount of work they did in a short week trying to understand this project and come up with novel proposals, I'm still impressed, especially when I try and follow the traffic on some of the lists. As I was doing in the summer, and I'm still doing now. So very impressive teaching, Avery, and everybody else that contributed during the summer. Second thing, I have a big question about this whole jurisdictional issue. And I note in, and Becky Burr talked about it, several people raised it. It's going in one of the subgroups, the offer to bring in somebody to talk about issues in jurisdiction. And it seems to me that this is kind of fundamental, because I don't see how you can reach a conclusion to either create a new organization, like a new structure, or not, unless you understand the jurisdictional implications of doing that. And I didn't get a response to that comment, and I haven't seen what's happening, and I don't know whether they are getting a jurisdictional expert in, but... is this or is this not an issue? Does NCSG have a view on it? Because whether you're incorporated in California does make a difference if you're setting up a new membership-based group, it seems to me. Anyway, I would love to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah,
Summer? Hi, thanks to Summer. Well, I really haven't gotten into it with anyone, Stephanie, though I do appreciate that it's been going around a lot on the CWG mailing list. As far as I'm concerned, I would first ask others what exactly they're talking about. Are they talking about because it hasn't been made clear to me on list whether we're actually talking about the jurisdiction that the IANA steward exists in or the jurisdiction IANA itself exists in. And to me, those are two different things. And I would prefer to focus on baseline requirements of what is required in terms of accountability of the IANA function and not be too married to a single jurisdiction, because jurisdictions change in terms of what laws become applicable depending on how laws are developed in any one jurisdiction. So I would similarly to arguing the possibility of separability of IANA from ICANN, I wouldn't want to marry the IANA steward or the organization itself to a single jurisdiction. I would prefer to have it, just where there are requirements of any jurisdiction it might exist in. For the time being, I have no personal problem with leaving it in California, though this may become necessary in the future, and maybe we should be addressing that situation. Thanks.
It's Joy here. Can I intervene on this?
Yes, Joy.
Thanks. I'm also, like Stephanie, lurking on the lists and want to thank the folks, Milton, Avery, and others, who are doing some great work advocating on issues in this one. I think on the jurisdiction point, there's two issues. There's the issue of the jurisdiction of ICANN and of IANA, should it be a subsidiary of ICANN, or if it was able to be separated from ICANN in certain prescribed circumstances, what jurisdiction it should fall under. And there's been quite a lot of discussion about that. Some of it's technically legal, and but I think Milton has pointed out quite rightly in the list discussion that there is a connection between this point of jurisdiction is a connection to the other working group on accountability, because part of the accountability mechanisms for ICANN relate to its jurisdiction and which accountability mechanisms might be possible in the jurisdiction it's operating. And I think that was sort of where the discussion had gotten to by about the end of last week. So I think what might be useful is to make sure that if we can in some way just be highlighting where we do see nexus points with the other working group, to be feeding those over to that other group, and then also just making sure we've got a sort of a helicopter view, if you like, across the two, and are able to be consistent in some of the advocacy across the two. Thanks.
If I could just jump in here and comment, I totally agree with Joy, but I don't have any confidence that the other working group is looking at this, and it's a foundational issue. You know, it's one of these things that bridges between the two. If we're thinking about structures, we have to understand jurisdiction. I think some people don't understand that you can't just take it away from ICANN and not decide where it's going to be housed. You know, there's kind of an ellipsis there. Next thing you know, you're actually just a subsidiary of ICANN if you don't create an organ that has a jurisdiction.
Right.
So I don't think the other group is looking at it, because why would they? It's a big, ugly mess, and if you don't have to, you know, even though I agree that it is part of our accountability. My worry here is that we're going to each wound up with things that two pieces of a house structure that don't go together come December when the deadline's looming, and then you know what's going to happen. Thanks.
Okay. So, first, I don't think we have really a unique and unified NCAG position about IANA transition. It's a still ongoing discussion. For the jurisdiction, I think that there was some discussion in the working group, but the problem sometimes that's happened that people really confuse the issue of a jurisdiction for ICANN and the IANA function, and where the working group is still working and what kind of model we want here is, if it's, like this, to separate between the IANA functions and the ICANN and so on. So that's why there is kind of there's sometimes confusion and people can be in defensive here. So, but yeah, and I think there is acknowledgement in the working group too that there is link between the accountability issue and the IANA transition. I don't think the people there are underestimating that point. But anyway. Okay, I also shared in the chat, we have that the IANA NCAG working group trying to, not working group, an ad hoc group or list, so we try to work there to discuss about any issue related to IANA transition and try to work on some proposal or a common position for NCAG, and also to coordinate the participation and of NCAG member in that working group. So please join and participate there. So if we want to have really meaningful impact in this process. And as usual, I see a lot of quite intensive discussion in the chat. Well, Okay. If there is no further comment, maybe we can. There is no really any other substantive item, just any other business, and it's related to appointment of liaison from the GNSO to the diverse, several working groups. But if someone wants, if you have still a further comment in the issue regarding INA transition, please speak up now. Okay, so the next item is just really about any other business, and it's about confirmation of council liaison to different GNSO working group. I see some NCAG member volunteering, Amr for the transliteration PDP, Shiri Langenor for the geographic region working group, Avery for the cross-community working group and framework for cross-community working group principles, and Carlos for the cross-community working group to develop the framework to use for the use of country and territory names as the TLD. Okay. Well, okay. Other items is correspondence with NGPC on IGU LCRC. This is about an update. And so, okay. I don't think I'm going to move. Going through all those items, if... Yes, Marilia.
Hi, Rafik. This is Marilia speaking. I just would like to understand if we don't have anyone for the first group on curative right protection for IGOs and NGOs. As far as I understood, it was an important topic that we were discussing, and we don't have any volunteers for that.
I guess so. There is no volunteer. But, I mean, so, yes. I think the liaison, it should be from the GNSO Council. So, it should be a counselor. Yes, Avri, you want to respond to this?
Yeah, that was just what I was going to point out, that the council, this very specific role of liaison between the council and a working group. So someone that understands the working group and understands the council can bring issues back and forth, report on them at various council meetings, and also if council has a message to the working group to bring it back through that path. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, I think everyone's afraid of curative rights protections group. I wouldn't go near it on a bet. So to find somebody that wants to liaison it, because it largely means that you don't give your opinions as much when you're a liaison. At least that's the way I believe, that a liaison from the council, yeah, they sort of can participate. They certainly should put their viewpoints in, but I think they have to be careful when they're doing it, because at a certain point it could look like the council is trying to prevail upon the working group to go a certain way because they wear a liaison hat. So it's one of those that once you take that role, you need to be very careful in how you participate in the group, hat on, half off. And I tend to think it's more of a sit-back type of role, but, of course, not everyone necessarily agrees with me on that. But it is a different role than just participating in an important working group. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. I think if we want really people to be there, we need more volunteers. So I think that's if it's what matters for us as NCAG. Yes, David.
I would say I've started to become more active on that working group. I'm really trying not to take on the liaison role and hoping someone else does. But we could definitely use more people in it. I'm trying to keep up with it, and I'm certainly active on the mailing list there, but the meetings are about 1 a.m. my time, so I'm not going to get to them every time. we could really do with more people on that one.
Okay. So we will find some volunteer. Okay, so I think, yes, Marilia maybe want to volunteer, and Robin suggesting to send note to get some volunteers there. Yeah, sure. Okay, well, other than that, any further comment? I'm not sure if we need really to go through all the, any other business. I mean, just in some updates, if there is anything important, maybe we can get notification from counselor later. So we have like 20 minutes left in this call, and there is a working group call just after this. So, okay. So the next agenda item, it's about from NCAC, it's usually about getting an update about any working group or ongoing policy. So if you want to share something here, so please, I mean, move forward. And I see that Bill wants to speak up here. Yes, Bill?
I wanted to raise the question of the NCSG policy committee itself and the need to elect a chair so that it can start to become more functional and responsive to all these things. Would that be worth discussing here, since this is a nominally NCSG PC call?
Yeah, sure, Bill. Just, I mean, can be in any other business.
I thought you were an AOB.
No, no. The other usual other agenda item is to get any update from working groups, or I mean, if we have to cover a public comment and so on. So,
my apologies. I'm multitasking. I thought you'd gotten there.
No problem. But. So, if nobody wants to, I mean, if there is no update here, we can discuss about this topic.
It's Joy here. I just saw one question from Marilia about updating on the human rights discussion.
Sorry?
I just saw a request from Marilia for an update on the ICANN and human rights.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Discussion.
Okay.
Just very briefly to say that, there has been a new list set up, the NCSG human rights list. Thanks, Rafiq, for doing that. And essentially, the follow-up meeting from ICANN 51, the group agreed to create this mailing list and add users and to have a discussion at ICANN 52, which Lee Hibbard is to coordinate, and in the meantime to think about having a webinar and produce a piece of substantive analysis before the next ICANN meeting to help the cross-community discussion. And so if anyone wants to be added to that list, I guess maybe just let the Niels or myself know. Marilia, did you want to add anything else? No, okay, thanks. Sorry, back to you, Rafiq.
Well, okay. Okay, good. Yes, so.
Sorry, maybe.
Marilia, I want to speak now.
Rafiq, I'm sorry. Yeah, just one point. Please. I think that we should start to have an agenda to program when we are starting to be organized for the next meeting. When are we going to request space for the session, for instance? What would be the most adequate to hold this webinar? You know, ICANN's calendar better than we all do. So maybe you can advise us on the best month or the best timing in order to get attendance before the next meeting. So it would be good to have an agenda and predict what are the next steps, because I think that the Council of Europe will facilitate, but we will be like the political people that will be pushing for this inside the community. So it's up to us to get organized too.
Okay. Thanks, Maria. I guess it's kind of discussion on that list. Maybe it's time to move forward. Okay. So since I see no any, other requests regarding an update from working group and so on, maybe we can move to the any other business and. As the topic suggested by Bill regarding policy committee election to get a new chair. So, Bill, you want to add something here?
Well, only that it is imperative that the policy committee get a chair in place so that it can start to function more effectively because we've had... If anybody looks at the list, the archive being open to anyone, we can see that there are a lot of dangling conversations that don't seem to go anywhere because we don't have somebody to really be in charge of coordinating the process and moving things forward. So we need somebody who's very attentive to process issues and able to be... suitably neutral between contending views and move things along. And I think that we have people on the PC now who are fully capable of doing this. I particularly would really support Amir in this context. I think he'd be a really good chair if he's willing. But whatever, whoever wants to do it, we need to get them in place so things are functioning. I'm looking right now at email from that list with people saying urgent, you know, about the outstanding issues that have been laying there forever. So it's quite clear that the whatever we were calling the current configuration, the interim co-chair or whatever it was, is not functioning. So there's no reason in the world with NCUC having appointed two representatives recently. And NPOC's representatives, I believe, are still valid from before. And the counselors, you have a full boat. So why not just move this along and elect somebody?
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Yeah. I mean, maybe just to clarify to people that the role of the NCNG Policy Committee Chair is different. We needed someone really to handle that, to make it quite functioning, because it has a critical role to work on NCAG position and to make appointments and nomination to the several working groups and so on. I see Stephanie and Amar in the queue. Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks. I hate to sound like a one-trick pony, but I'm concerned that the EWG stuff is going to rise like Botticelli's Venus from the waves and confront us shortly, and we definitely need to have some positions sorted out on that. I had promised I would do a summary of the issues, and I haven't delivered on that, but as you can appreciate, it's a big job. But I will try and get that done. So I wonder, Avery is our rep on that interim working group between the board and the GNSO to figure out how that thing is going to get broken up into PDPs. Is there any progress on that, or is nothing going to happen till Singapore? I'm worried that there are people going out from the from the EWG giving talks to the community. And I don't know what they're saying, you know. So the longer this sits in stealth mode, the worse it's going to get from our perspective. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie, you quite introduced a totally different topic, so it's quite confusing for some. And I see Avery in the queue. Maybe she's trying to respond to you about this. Or Avery, that's your intention?
Yep. Yeah, I put my hand up to respond, but I can wait until after Amr goes, or I can respond. It's up to you.
Okay, thanks, thanks, Avery. Yes, Amr, please go ahead.
Actually, I was going to go back to the NCSG Policy Committee issue, but since we're on the EWG, why don't we just wrap that up and then get back to the Policy Committee issue? Aubrey, is that okay with you?
Oh, sure. Okay. So, moving fairly slowly and deliberately, we tried to have an every 2 week meeting, but that seemed too frequent for some of the members in the group. So we've moved it to a monthly meeting. We're basically going through it, trying to figure out which parts are policy issues that need to be taken to the GNSO. It might be a slight exaggeration to call it that we're in slice and dice mode, but we really are. We're going through it. We're treating it as a given document that we must work to. We're treating it as a raw material that we must now dig into. The CSG folks in the group are arguing that it is a consistent whole that must be taken as a consistent whole. But most of the other people in the group do not see it that way and see various separate issues. So I think in terms of the policy getting pulled out and getting a completely new initial issues report, once we figure out what goes into that issues report, is a way to start. So we're going back to the beginning. That much has been decided, that the new issues report will include the policy issues from the EWG that need to be studied. Now, the only one interesting and perhaps troubling aspect in all of this is that the techie-oriented members of the group also think that it might be worth doing a parallel investigation on practicality, implementability, perhaps even a prototype implementation to see whether it's even possible, whether it works. As the policy stuff is going on, that the techie part of me agrees with this completely. The policy tech person sees that as possibly forcing some of the issue down the road is, see, we proved it can work, now let's just do it. Problem. So I'm really of two minds about that, but it hasn't started yet, and if it starts, I think defining the conditions for that and finding the money for that is that. Now, one of the issues that the group has also gotten into, which we haven't resolved at all, is who pays for this? Certainly, the registrars are looking at it and saying, you think we're going to pay for this? And so that aspect is also very much on the table, and I guess that's not an aspect that was necessarily at the top of the EWG's, issues to be resolved. But, the whole discussion of who pays for it should be the one that wants the information, or should it be the one that has to provide the information. So I think we still have a long way to go before this. Once we see the initial issues report, it will be critical for NCSG as well as civil society outside NCSG to comment on that issues report, on issues that may be missing. Whether we will be able to get in a consensus method all of the human rights concerns that we may have with this, all of the privacy concerns that we may have with this in the initial issues report, because that is written by staff, not by this group. You know, that remains an open question, so we'll have to watch it carefully. But I do not see coming out of this group at the moment any quick march to implementation or to acceptance of it. It's a raw material that we're now going to subject, I believe, you know, things can always be different, you know, and change on a dime, but at the moment, I believe it's in a good trajectory for, you know, looking at it as, okay, it's an interesting report. Some of it is useful, some of it may not be. What are the policy implications, and can it be done at all? Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Avery here. Okay. Hama, please go ahead.
Thanks. Since we're still on the EWG issue, I personally am far more optimistic on this issue from a process perspective as opposed to how I felt a few months ago. I think it's great that we're going to have a new preliminary issues report as opposed to the original one that was published in March of last year, which was completely useless because there was no EWG final report at the time. That's great to hear from Avery that this is going to happen. And not only is it going to happen, but there is a GNSO board group that is working together on what may be and may not be policy issues that would go into this report, because usually these reports come directly from staff and we don't get a chance to see them until those are published, but then we get the public comment period before the final issues report is published. So now it seems we're getting to provide inputs both before the preliminary issue report and after it is published. So I'm feeling better about it now than I had been in the past. I don't feel good about the EWG recommendations in general, but I do feel better about the process. And thanks for following up with that, Avery. I don't know if you want to move back and forth between topics, but the policy committee issue was raised by Bill earlier, and I agree with him. And I think most of the policy committee members agree that we need to have elections as quickly as possible. We're quite behind on some of these new CWG appointments that are popping up everywhere. There's also the accountability cross-community working group after the charter is adopted by the different ACs and SOs. But yeah, we need to do that as soon as possible. And I am personally willing to volunteer for this position, but I guess the policy committee will vote on who its new chair will be. And we haven't had a chair since Maria ended her last term as an NCSG counselor. And she also played the role of the policy committee chair up until then. So we've had a vacancy for about a month now, I think. Thanks.
Thanks, Ahmed. Yeah, it's quite a critical topic to fix and to solve, so we can get in track. We have many things to achieve and to deliver. And this is the role of the policy committee. So I guess we have to start the election process quickly. Yes, Avery, please go ahead.
This is Avery again. I definitely support we need to find a chair at the moment. Yes, we have an alternate chair who could be chairing, but has been sort of absent.
Please wait.
It's a little rude of me, but I am not in favor of a council member holding the chair of the group. I think that, A, the workload becomes too much, as we have seen with previous, our previous two chairs were council members, Maria and before that Wendy, and it's a lot of work. When Wendy was chair and on council, and I was alternate chair and not on council. I was the one that had the bandwidth to do the work, not her. When Maria was on council and chair, I don't believe she had the bandwidth to do the chairing, and we've been light in terms of chairing all year, though it has been absent in the last 2 months. And I apologize for being so direct about it all. But I really think that, A, the bandwidth, and then, B, I think there's actually a slightly different set of incentives in the PC between the council members who actually have to go out and, you know, do the slogging through the mud with the other council members deciding, you know, on how to move forward, and the PC that basically comments on council work, among other things, takes the council to task when it needs to be taken to task and such, and that can actually end up an awkward position for a council member sort of finding themselves leading a necessary charge against the council, or against the council position. So I tend to believe that it is better, you know, to pick our chair from among those appointed by the constituencies. And so I appreciate Amr being willing to put himself forward, but I caution, we have no rule against it, so it's just something I'll speak against. I caution against having a council member be the chair for the third time running. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Avery. I see Bill want to respond here. Yes, Bill.
Yes, thanks. I totally understand what Avery's saying based on recent experience. At the same time, I guess if the group works together and supports the chair, and if we now have some staff assistance and other possibilities of using tools to track outstanding bits of work and so on, and if we have somebody who's got the energy and is willing to take it on and feels confident that they can, I wouldn't personally preclude it just a priori. And the only thing I wonder about it, I mean, if we did what you're suggesting, Avery, the pool of possible chairs is fairly small, and in the case of the NCUC side, we're talking about two people that we just drafted into the process who I don't know, you know, I mean, they, you know, people need to kind of be in the process for a while and get their feet wet and so on, I would think, before taking on a chairing role. So, because there's a lot of procedural aspects. So, just to say, I understand the concern, but I wonder about the viability and the necessity of the approach you're suggesting.
Okay.
This is Audrey again. I'll jump in since my hand is up. We have at least one of the NCUC persons spent 3 years as a council member. Definitely already has wet feet.
Okay. Okay. Speaking here, I understand for the workload, but I think there is a lot of way to support whoever will be the chair of the BC, and that's the point. I mean, we need a functioning PC as a whole. It's not just about the chair. The chair role is really to kind of chase people to react, to be sure that we are in track for public comments and also for working groups and so on. And several times I ended up to do this, to try to get the group in track, while the charter doesn't allow me to be the chair of PC, and I'm not looking anyway. So we need a person who is will be committed to do work. That's, I think, the main criteria I see. Having to be liaising with the council, it's important too, because a lot of work is done in the GNFSO council. So I see many points here in discussion. I guess it will continue somehow in the PC list. But honestly, the main criteria for me is to see commitment to do work. I mean, it's like about project management, is to be sure that things are done and delivered in time, so NCAG can send its position and to be effective. That's, I think, the main goal here. Anyway, any further comment? I think because we are 4 minutes after, I mean, after 2 hours, I'm not sure who need to go to the other working group call. So if there is any further comment or addition here. Okay. So, if no one to speak up, I guess we can adjourn the call for here. Thanks for everybody for joining and participating, and in particular the newcomers and new members. I understand it can be sometimes hard and complicated with a lot of acronyms and discussing about ongoing policy. However, if you want to ask any question, please feel free to do so, and you can do it in the mailing list, so you can learn a lot. That's how, I mean, if you want really to get involved, is to learn about things done, and I mean the practice. That's the best way to learn. Okay, so yeah. So let's adjourn the call for today. Thank you, everybody, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rafiq.
Thank you, operator. You may not stop the recording.
Thanks, Miriam.
Thanks, all. Bye.
Bye-bye, all.